it in English? No clue. I have a feeling it's not. It's yeah, whoever translates it. I couldn't even. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Back to our topic. The Harabi. Sorry. Mitzra b'hazmana ba'alma. Can you believe it? What makes it aser? According to Ravi Marab. I want you to realize this. I have a couch. I have a bench. I have a table. And I say, this couch is a money couch. It's a money table. I want to maybe extend it to a money pouch. And I designate it. I've never used it for money. But I've designated it for money. It's aser to use. Why? Muksub azmana. I've already said, Hinmucham Zuman. I've already designated and I said, this is a money couch, a money pouch, a money table, a money chair. And muksa, of course, money's muksa. I've never put money on there. Wow, this, my friend, is the most extreme form of muksa, which makes sense. It's a maruta marav. This is the most extreme, that you make things muksa by your designation. Okay? Now, I had a chavrusa on Friday. It's funny. I didn't make this connection until right now. But I apologize to the lady who joined us. But okay, she can relate to this too. Let's say you buy a tefillin bag. It's worthwhile mentioning this. This is a very important halacha. Let's say you have a tefillin bag. I don't know what you use. I use a double tefillin bag, which is inside my dining room. So I'm not going to get it right now. But I have a tefillin bag that is made out of, it's not suede, it's felt. You know those felt classic tefillin bags? You know what I'm talking about? I'm a tefillin bag. And then I put that bag, which really only holds my tefillin, there's really not a lot of room for anything else, into a larger plastic bag with a zipper. I never open or close the zipper because I'm just lazy. Now, you are not allowed to, because it's a Gemara and Brachos that I actually looked on Friday with somebody, that you would not be allowed to put anything else in that fill-in bag. Why? Because the moment I use, it's a machlokas, the Gemara and Brachos, which I don't know if it's really connected to this Gemara. I haven't really thought about it. But if you have a situation where you've used, it could be designation is not sufficient. I didn't actually check the halacha, but I'm pretty sure it has to be used. I'm pretty sure we don't hold by a tefillin bag. If you buy a tefillin bag and haven't used it for tefillin, you could use it for other purposes. But if you have a tefillin bag that you put your tefillin in, you cannot even put a sitter in there. Why? Because tefillin have a higher level of sanctity of kedusha than a sitter. You not be allowed to use the bag, which is a tefillin bag, for anything else that's a lower level of kedusha, which is what? You put your tefillin in a bag, and that goes into a larger plastic bag. In a larger plastic bag, you can put your tzedakah, you can put your sitter, you can put your tefillin coloring in black thing, right? That's very important. That's very important halacha.
Sitter's blue tefillin.
A sitter's blue tefillin, because tefillin is mamash like a sefer Torah, right? It's like a scroll, and right? It's tashmishe kedusha, whereas a sitter is a tashmishe mitzvah. So the tashmishe mitzvah is a lower level than tashmishe kedusha. So, I have this cold now for 2 weeks, but it's okay. It's a wet cold. The wet cold is not COVID. How do I know? A, I know, and B, I actually had this good to get tested. It was a lot of fun. So, no family, but it's cold. Seder, it happens. It's winter in Toronto. You get cold. So the idea of, and this is a tremendous chiddush, and this is very important, because if we hold like Rav Yehuda Marav, we're very limited in our muksa concept. Okay? Back to our topic. So that's what Mirav says. And this is a problem. Oh, why is this a problem? But why is that? We learned, which I'm not going to repeat because you learned it earlier, that you would be allowed to, if you buy a Ner Chadash, remember what a Ner Chadash is. We got, this is where the Hebrew gets you confused. A Ner Chadash is not, it's a Ner is a candelabra. What's the English here? What's English? A lamp. Oh, wait, actually, lamp's even better, right? You buy a new lamp. You've never used it, right? So it's not, well, let's take a look at Rashi. Metalti ner chadash. Veha Rabbi Yehuda kamarle. Rabbi Yehuda allowed you to move a ner chadash. How could you move a ner chadash and you can't move a mita that you've designated for money? That's the Gemara's question. Let's go back to say metalti ner chadash. Rabbi Yehuda kamarle. Dizei muksa. Amar lemijashe bazmana. I don't understand. I have a lamp. What's the function of a lamp? The function of a lamp is for something muksa, for something usher. gotta be very short. Remove the word muksa. I apologize. Using a lamp is asr, right? Okay, it's a lamp. How then am I allowed to move a lamp which hasn't been used yet, and I can't move a couch, pouch, bed that's used for money and haven't used it yet? How come I did azmana seems to be asr when it comes to a couch, bed, chair, sofa, pouch for money, and a lamp is not muksa? How come? Why is that? How come I'm allowed to move one and not allowed to move the other under the same sheet of Rav Yehuda, right? So again, back to Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda Kamarle Didle Mukta Alma Lomid Yasher Bazmana. It doesn't become Asher by Hazmana, by designation. Ava Lo Yasher Lo Katani Ava Lom Yucha Lekach. Right? It comes to a Yashan, he holds that you're not allowed to move it. Answer. Uma Ner Lahachi Avida. Kila Alig Basher Letotola. He does love the Achi Avda, lo kosh again. And especially when it comes to a lamp. What's the function of a lamp? It's only used for lighting. It's only used for something which is asr, right? And I didn't use it yet. And that's mutter to move. Well, let's face it. A couch, a bed, a sofa, even a pouch. Even a pouch, you can use a pouch for food. You can use a pouch for candy, right? Your candy, what's it called? The candy bag or something, right? And you're telling me that we're more machmir by a couch and a bed that's going to be designated for money over a lamp? Which, what else is really a lamp for except for the Kindle line? That makes no sense. So how do we explain Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav? There seems to be a contradiction between designation. How do we understand it? Ella itmar hach itmar. This is how we need to understand it. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Mita she'yi chada le'ma'ot. If we have designated a couch or bed for money, so now we're changing the statement. You're right, that can't be right. There's no way it could be understood like that. And therefore, we are changing his statement. And what is the statement? No, sorry, erase those words. How do we understand it? It depends. If I designated this couch or this bed for money, and I used it for money, right? I place money on there. Not that it is before its first time use, but I've used it for money, then it's usher. If I haven't used it yet for money, what about if I didn't designate it for money? I just have money on my couch. I have money on my chair. I have money on my bench. So I didn't designate it. This chair is used for sitting at the Shabbos table, right? This couch is used for schluffing, for my Shabbos nap on Shabbos. And there's money on there. Well, guess what? I would not be allowed to move it. Not the couch, not the chair, nothing. What about if money is not on there? Then I would be permitted to do it. Meaning, if I had money on there at 2 p.m. and all of a sudden the money slipped off, I would be allowed to move it. Unless, but if money was sitting on my couch or my chair for Ben Hashmasha, remember, let's go back to Ben Hashmasha conversation that we had a few weeks ago, and it was sitting on my couch from Thomas Candlelight this week, 540 or something? 545 is candlelighting. Here's my little magnet, trusty magnet. 535 was candlelighting. So Shkia will pretend it's 20 minutes, even though it's 18, it's just easier. So that would be 5:55. So let's pretend from 5:55 until 6:10. 15 minutes, finish Masha. The money was sitting on my chair that I want to use for Shabbos. And then at 6:30, the money fell off the chair. I would not be allowed to move that chair the entire Shabbos. Why? Remember our principle from weeks ago? since money was sitting on my chair, ben ashmasho, it was designated for this muksa thing. Going back to what we said weeks ago, remember when a birdie is sitting on a basket, the entire ben ashmasho, even if the birdie hops off of it, afterwards, the basket cannot be used, even if the birdie is not in the basket. Even if the money is not on this couch, even if the money is not on the bench, even if the money is on the chair, since the money was on a ben ashmasho, you cannot be used. You will recall that from our conversation from a few weeks ago. If not, very good. Now, hopefully, you will. And if you're not here, at least you heard it now. Now, by the way, I want to make a very important statement. I've been very careful. I've been treading on thin ice on purpose. I've not really come out with halacha lemaisa yet. I'm doing that on purpose because I don't believe we can do any halacha lemaisa. Yeah, I threw something out last week, the last couple minutes, but on purpose. Because, like I said, unless you go through three blot of Gemara, you don't understand any halacha lemaisa. Let me tell you something. Halacha lemaisa is going to be a little bit of a chulun. But we, hopefully, sorry, the Shema Hashem will help us and we'll have an approach. I hope. We're almost there. But there's no point doing it now because you're not going to appreciate it. I said that many times and I'm still sticking to my guns. So for now, I guess everything's moksa. Because you don't know what to do. We'll talk about that. But back to our topic. So again, I want to reiterate. We were talking about a situation where according to Amar Rav Yehuda, there's not a contradiction. Why? Because we're saying it all depends. Here we go. Seems to be a lamp that is used, according to Rav Yehuda, is moksa. Why is it moksa? That goes back to the Gemara that we skipped today, that we did 3 weeks ago. I will remind you, according to Rav Yehuda, I'm just trying to remember because there's two different reasons that I always get them confused. According to Rav Yehuda, why can't you move a yashan? It's a Mishnah. Remember we said, lo yashan, right? Right here. Avalo yashan, divar Rav Yehuda. Matatli nir chadash, avalo yashan, divar Rav Yehuda. It's the first Gemara after Mishnah that we skipped. Maybe we should. I just didn't want to go over it again. And the reason is because it's now ma'us. It's gross, dirty, and disgusting. We mentioned that when you use a pottery, when you use a clay lamp, the moment it's been used once, even if it is not kindling, and even if it wasn't used even on Shabbos, but to use it, it's just covered in gross soot, I guess. So therefore, it's muksa machmat mius. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a concept called muksa machmat mius. And that's why we're not allowed to handle it. Mius means like gross and disgusting. Okay? So make sure I'm right. Yeah. Muksa machmat, okay, yeah. Okay, fine. Good. So that's our Gemara. Okay, that's Rav Yehuda. Now here we go. Listen to this. Hold on to your seats, everybody. Before we hold on to our seats, we're now going to bring up another Gemara, which most of this statement deals with Tumah Tahara, and I don't even want to deal with the Tumah Tahara part. I want to deal with the Shabbos part. So bear with me. Amar Ula Meitiv Rav Elazer Muchni Shala Bizman Shehi Nishmetet. We're talking about it. Where there's a problem. Why a muchni? What in the world is a muchni? So a muchni is part of the back of a wagon. Here, a muchni. Rashi says is an ofen. An ofen is like ofanaim. But it doesn't mean ofanaim. It means like a wagon type of a thing. Okay? But then, you know why it's called the wagon? Because it has wheels, which is ofanaim. Okay, So again, you have a wagon, and we're talking about part of the wagon. Muchne shalab bizman shi nishmetet. We're talking about a wagon. If it's nishmetet, if it can come apart, in chibur la. Okay, the last line is why we're bringing it into our case. The first part has to do with Tumah and Tahara, and that's not really our case at all. The question is it considered a separate, entity for Tumah and Tahara? Let's say this wagon gets involved in Tahara. Forget that for now. We're talking about the bottom part of a carriage, of a wagon, if there's money on there and it's separate. Okay, so let's go through this for a second, just very quickly. If there's money on this part of the wagon, what does the Englisher say? I actually didn't look it up. And the frame of the base of the wagon, and this is detachable. Okay, undercarriage, it says here. Fine, I didn't know that. The wagon's undercarriage, when it's detachable. Okay, if the undercarriage is not detachable and there's money on this undercarriage, I guess in my head I'm picturing like a stroller, and under a stroller there's a basket. Is that the undercarriage? I'll be really honest, I'm not really so sure. Ofen Agalash Shalina. Somehow you could, or maybe it's like a detachable wheel from it, an extra wheel to give it more power, to give it more in the snow. I'm not quite sure what exactly this is. But anyways, it doesn't really matter so much. The idea here is that if it is not detachable and there's money on there, because the rest of the wagon is the car, the money would be batel to the wagon. But if it's detachable, then the money is not tafel, and therefore it would be a problem of muksa. That's the ikar zachir that we care about from a money perspective.
It says here that the it says that in Safari that,
what?
That the undercarriage is the system of wheels and the frame at the base of the wagon.
Oh, okay. To be honest, I didn't read it. It's like almost like, you know, those strollers, like you get, like they snap off.
Yeah.
They become like a car seat. Okay. You know. So cool. Okay. So who had any idea that these modern car seats are really going back to the times of the Mishnah? So you're saying, what does Faria say?
It says, the system of wheels on the frame at the base of the wagon.
Okay.
Basically everything except for the part that you sit in.
Yeah, by the way, that's exactly what a poppin' stroller. What's wrong with me? It's been so long. Nieces and nephews. What's it called? We have a stroller and you take the. What's it called? Oh my goodness. It's not a portable stroller. Snap and go. Oh, I remember now. Snap and go. Ellie, what's wrong with you? You're like an expert uncle, man. I don't even want to know. Ken, you're boo. You got lots of nieces and nephews. Snap and go. You don't know the term snap and go? Ellie, come on.
It didn't come to mind. I don't buy the strollers, but.
You know strollers. You don't do snap and goes. Snap and goes you'd only do, I guess, if you're snapping and going. You take them out and you put them in a car. Right? You're saying you don't do that often. Okay, fine. I'll give you, we'll let you go on this one. But still, you think Ellie Baldwin would know about snapping. I should know about snapping. Okay. I haven't used snap and go in, I don't know. I think you use a snap and go the first year of the kid's born. You know, you think you never forget these things? Let me tell you, you forget these things. Okay, so a snap and go. Beautiful. Thank you, David. It's very helpful. So you have a snap and go. So if you remove the snap and go, the framework, so it's batel, the money would not be batel, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to detach it. Fine. Okay, good. Let's continue the Gemara. Hi, Analamot, Sharia. But if there's no money, you'd be allowed to unsnap it. Af al gav dehavo alav ben ashmashot. Even if, here we go, the money was on ben ashmashot. I don't understand. How can this be? We just said ben ashmashot, if the money is on there, it's a problem. If it's on your chair, if it's on your bench, if it's on your whatever. And now we're saying it seems to be okay. Hold on to your seats, everybody. Hahi Rabbi Shimon hi. Delaytle moksav Rabbi Virav Rabbi Hudas Viralei. We know how we're going to be able to navigate through this? Simple. It's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, he holds. Guess what? I did not say this 3 weeks ago because I could not believe this was true until I actually read it in the Gemara over here. Rabbi Shimon is such a muksa minimalist. I underappreciate it. If that means if a bird is on a basket, the entire ben ashmashua. That means if money is on a bench, a chair, or a table, the entire ben ashmashua, and the chick hops off an hour into Shabbos, the money falls off an hour into Shabbos, according to Rabbi Shimon, you can move the basket, you can move the bench. When it's on there, you can. If it's off, can you believe it? Can you believe? Okay, how are we going to make sense of that? I even indicated, and David called me out right now, said, when we look at this, I even said it might be d'oraita. It's a lack of mucha. Remember? V'chinu at the Sherry View. So now Greenberg has to take a backtrack. I admit, everybody, that when I read this, I did a double take. This is why it's that's why you got to learn an entire sugya from beginning to end until you open your mouth. Which always a problem in yeshiva, right? You start doing this, and you don't realize everything you're saying is contradictory to the next daf. So I have to because now, what the halacha is, again, I'm not even going there. It must. Oh, gosh, the sun is coming out. When the sun comes out, the ice falls. It's beautiful. The sun, the koach of the shemesh is able to destroy the koach of the kerach. Beautiful. Now, what was I saying? My poetic statement over there. Okay, so it must be, are you ready for this? It must be that we need to totally reconfigure how we understand Rabbi Shimon. But here's the thing. This will be greatly appreciated when we do the next sugya. I'm going to give you the answer now, but I can only really prove it later. Rabbi Shimon is going to have to say that unless the item is totally unusable. Question, is a chair usable? Sure it is. So when I go into Shabbos, it's true that my chair right now is in a situation that I have money on it, which is a problem. But chairs are normally usable on Shabbos. And therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, must say that if a chair is usable, in my psyche, in my mind, I'm hoping, maybe praying, maybe davening, maybe even offering an incantation, that should the money fall off, I want to use my chair. So is a chair moksa? No. According to Rabbi Shimon, is a basket moksa? No. If a bird is on there, if money is on there, it's moksa. Well, the item is on there because it's a busies. But the chair and the basket never become moksa. Do you know why? I did preparation. You know why I did preparation? A chair is always prepared to be used. Right? A basket is always prepared to be used. Rabbi Shimon is a moksa minimalist. A chair is made to be used. Therefore, you can use it. Oh, bird's on it, so I can't use it now. When the bird hops off, I get to use it. Oh, Benish Moshe. Doesn't matter. It seems to be that I did do Hazmana. I did prepare before Shabbos. Why? Isn't a chair a usable item? A chair is a usable item. Therefore, I did prepare. So I still want to argue that it could be again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which Rav seems to agree with, that I'm a moksa maximalist, that if my chair is not usable, then guess what? I can't use it all Shabbos because I must have a prepared item during Ben Hashmashot. So my chair has now become unusable because of the birdie or because of the money. When it comes to Rabbi Shimon, no! Chairs and baskets are usable. They're items that you use. I don't care if a bird is on there. Okay, the bird is on there now. It'll come off, hopefully. When it comes off, you get to use it. Okay, that must be the machloka between the moksa minimalist and a moksa maximalist. Is that clear? Are we okay? Okay, what time is it? Okay, we got a few minutes. Let's go on. Okay, if that's true, sure, yeah. Rav Yehuda, hold it, Rav Yehuda, not a problem. Look at that, guys. We did more than a whole amud today. It's because the amud is like, 10 lines. Mem hey. But I got to get the next sugya before the end of today. Hachi nami mistabra. Yeah, this makes a lot of sense. The Rav to Rabbi Yehuda sphere. Rav lines out with Rabbi Yehuda. They are both muksa maximalists. The Amar Rav, menichim near al-gabe deko b'shabbos, then menichim near al-gabe deko b'yom tov. We have a small problem, though, and I'll tell you why we might have a small problem. Let me explain very quickly. You are not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. Issur d'rabbanan. You might come to break off a branch. So am I allowed to put a candle on top of a tree? I know that sounds like the dumbest thing in the world because it's a fire hazard, but whatever. They were less concerned about things in those days. Now a little bit more concerned. Fine. But Also, we have more things made out of wood today than they did, but it was actually very inefficient. You'd be allowed, I got to remember this, you'd be allowed to you put a candle on top of a tree on Shabbos and not on Yom Tov. Can you use a candle on Yom Tov? Yes. Which is therefore why we will not allow to put it on Yom Tov. Because we're worried that what will happen on Yom Tov, you'll climb the tree to access the candle because you can use a candle on Yom Tov. And therefore, you're not allowed to put the candle on a tree on Yom Tov because since you can access the candle, you might come to climb the tree, and climbing the tree is Asur on Yom Tov. But on Shabbos, you are allowed, I mean, if you put it there before Shabbos, you would be allowed to put it there. Why? Because we're not worried you're going to want to climb the tree because the Nair is Asur on Shabbos, and therefore you'd be allowed to put it there for Shabbos and not Yom Tov. E amart bishlama de Rav ki Rabbi Yudas verle hainu deshane ben Shabbos ve Yom Tov. Ela e amart ki Rabbi Shimon's verle ma'ali Shabbos ma'ali Yom Tov. Let's go through this. If Rav, who says that you are, that your Rav says that you're not allowed to put it there on Yom Tov, but you are allowed to put it on Shabbos, I don't understand something. We know that the actual Nair has been, no one's going to come to, shall we say, it's Muksa. You're not going to come and carry it. Why? Because again, according to Rabbi Shimon, this is very counterintuitive. Since according to Rabbi Shimon, placing a Nair, by the way, this Nair obviously has gone out, or else there's no question to talk about, right? So it's kindling and then went out. So according to Rabbi Shimon, it should be usher to do this. You shouldn't be allowed Shabbos or Yom Tov. Why? Because since on Shabbos it is permitted to move, right? Because what does Rabbi Shimon hold? You're allowed to move a lamp once it's extinguished. Remember that, right? Because he's a muksa minimalist. And since he holds you can move a lamp that's extinguished, you should be usher to do this. It doesn't matter Shabbos or Yom Tov. Because in both cases, what? In both cases, you might come to move the lamp. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who's a muksa maximalist, no one will come to climb the tree on Shabbos because they can't access this lamp that is extinguished because the lamp is usher. So therefore, how do we see if Rav says that you're allowed to place it there on Shabbos, it seems that, and we see here, that Rav is aligning himself with Rabbi Yehuda and not Rabbi Shimon. Very good. So now that's why, what's our proof? We see that Rav aligns Shita with Rabbi Yehuda. And we see that Rabbi Shimon disagrees with both Rabbi Yehuda and with Rav. Ella yemarki Rabbi Shimon's fear lay ma'li shas medav. But if you want to tell me that Rav might hold like Rabbi Yehuda, if you want to tell me that Rav might hold like Rabbi Shimon, it should make a difference to Rabbi Yehuda. They both should be usher to use. There should be no difference between them. Rav ka Rabbi Yehuda's really? And you want to tell me that Rav really holds like Rabbi Yehuda? Not so simple. The ha bao mine de Rav. Right? How could this be? Rav, are you sure of Rabbi Yehuda? It seems like he does. We're seeing, we're lining him up. But not so simple. Not so simple to say that Rav lines up with you. It might seem like he does, but not so simple. Why not? Let me tell you why not. Because they asked Rav, Bomini, they asked Rav the following question. Are you allowed to move a Hanukkah candle, lamp, a Hanukkah menorah, Hanukkah, are you allowed to? That went out. So again, everybody agrees you can't do it if it's kindling. But what happened? Remember, this is important to remember. By the way, Rashi says, obviously, Shraga de Chanukza means that it was extinguished. That's a given. Are you allowed to move this Chanukiah that is out? And he said, Shapir Dami, you are allowed to. Well, you're allowed to. That seems like Rabbi Shimon, right? That sounds like Rabbi Shimon. So you want to tell me that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda? He lined up the last two statements, that meaning that Rabbi Yehuda is a muksa maximalist. Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. He's a muksa maximalist, that you'd be allowed to. We're not worried that if you have a lamp on a tree, doesn't matter. No one will climb that tree. Do you know why? because a lot of his muksa, that seems to be like Rabbi Yehuda. But now you want to tell me that he holds like Rabbi Shimon because you can move the Chanukiah. What's going on here? Who does Rav hold like? Does Rav hold like Rabbi Shimon or does Rabbi hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Is Rav a muksa maximalist or is Rav a muksa minimalist? Answer. Shaset Chakshani. No. When does Rav allow you to move only because of Shaset Chak? What is the Shaset Chak they're referring to? I'm sure you, plenty of you are actually familiar with this. You don't even realize it. The Ha'am Rule Rav Kahana Rav the Rav. Oh, sorry. I skipped a line, didn't I? Oh my goodness, I skipped a line. Ma'u Tatla Shraga Dechunuta Mikame Chabare Bishabta. Sorry. What is this Makme Chabare? We're talking about a situation where it's a, where would you be allowed to bring in your candle because there are these bad dudes. There's these bad people, these Persians. And what would they do to you? That they wouldn't kill you. It's not that they're going to come and persecute you and like chop off your head because you're lighting Hanukkah candles. But there's persecution. They would attack you. They may make fun of you. Maybe you'd suffer monetary loss. So we're talking about, answer, Shaset Chak Shani. We're talking about a case of Shaset Chak. Meaning, when does Rav allow you to bring in your menorah, your Hanukkah from Hanukkah when it's extinguished? Only if it's a Shaset Chak. Why is it Shaset Chak? Because if these Persians were called Chavrei, which Rashi says, Shem Uma Shahaita im Parsim, if they were to see that you're lighting and fulfilling the mitzvah of Hanukkah, they would not kill you, but they would bug you, tease you. Maybe they top over your table. They smash your menorah. They smash your windows. They cause monetary damage. They make you feel uncomfortable, right? So again, it's not mamish, like God forbid, dangerous. But by the way, we know this. That's why the minhag, especially chutzaretz, is to light inside your house. Remember, so it comes from these times where there's a sense of persecution. So maybe this isn't like mamish death persecution. It's like uncomfortable persecution. So what they do, they light outside. The second it would go out, he'd bring it in. That's what they would do. That's what it seems like, okay? Because they wanted to fill the mitzvah like it should be, outdoors. But they were worried about this quasi-persecution and comfortable feeling, so they wanted to know if they could bring it in on Friday night. And the answer is yes. But because this is Shaset Chak Shani, meaning the only reason why Rav allowed you to bring it in, not because he's a muksa minimalist like Rabbi Shimon, he's a muksa maximalist Rabbi Yehuda. The two statements before that we lined up Rav with Rabbi Yehuda, his approach to lamps and his approach to muksa items, is like Rav Yehuda. He's a muksa maximalist. Why does he allow you to bring it in this case? He only allows you to bring it in this case because of Shaset Chak persecution. The Ha'am Lehu Rav Kan Rav Ashem the Rav. Is this a halacha? Hold on, everybody. Amar Lehu. Kedai Rabbi Shimon Lismach Alav Shaset Chak. Yeah. We can hold a Rabbi Shimon. When? Shaset Chak. Why are we allowing, why is Rav allowing people to bring in the Chanukiah Friday night from outdoors? Because of persecution. And we're allowed to rely on Rabbi Shimon during times of persecution. For Shaset Chak. Does that mean that we usually don't hold like Rabbi Shimon? The default setting is Rabbi Yehuda. We can use Rabbi Shimon only Shaset Chak. Is that what it's saying? Well, if you look closely at your Gemara, which none of you have because you're all using Sefaria, but I'm using a real Talmud Bavli, a real book that's bound that has pages, which is rare today. So I'm looking at my Talmud from Babylonia, and I'm staring at the Gemara right now, right? I'm staring at the Gemara. I'm not looking at you. And guess what? There are no letters here, right? Usually when the halacha, there's usually often a little letter to tell me. So I don't know now. Now I'm confused. The Gemara says, hey, we should hold like him, Shaset Chak, but there are no letters here. Does that mean that's the halacha, not the halacha? I don't know. You got to stick around and find out. In your Hashem, I want to start the case next week because this case is wild. Are you ready for this? Let's just do this case and we're going to come back to this next week. Next week, God willing, we're going to do this next sugya, which is unbelievable. So again, this is taking everything we've done and putting it all together, and it's mamish. They are trying to literally carve out the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. They're trying to figure out Rabbi Shimon, which is amazing to do. And it's going to be amazing. Oh, I'm so excited. I can't even tell you. had opportunity to prepare a little bit last couple of weeks. So I'm very excited for next week again. So here we go. Listen to this. Listen to this case. Baumini, here's a question. Reish Lakish from Yochanan. Chitim shezar an bakarka. Are you ready for this? I take chita and I put them in the ground. What's my intent? For them to grow. Thank you, David. Who beats him tachat anagalat. Mau. And what about eggs underneath the underneath the hen? Right? Are they muksa or not? Listen to this. Ki lately Rabbi Shimon muksa. Maybe they would be totally fine. Because Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold by muksa. I'm not even reading the next line because I don't want to on purpose. We see from here, I want you to realize this. According to Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara is willing to entertain. Listen to this. I'm taking wheat. I'm going to my field. Out in the fields. I'm taking wheat and I'm putting it in the ground with the intent to take root. All of a sudden, what happens? Does Rashi say this? Or I'm going to explain this. Yeah. It's Rashi. Vadain lo hishrashu. It didn't take. We know, the Gemara says this elsewhere, that it takes a day or two. You don't need to be like a farmer in Guelph to know this. But when you put wheat in the ground, it actually doesn't take root right away. That's obvious. It takes, let's say it takes 48 hours. So Friday morning, I put it in the ground. And Friday night, I'm having a tish. And I decide at my tish, I want to munch on wheat. I know that's not like the most elaborate thing to offer at a tish. But in those days, it was potentially something they would do. And it won't take root until Shabbos morning, Sunday. Where I'd be allowed to go out to my field, bring in the wheat that I intended to plant and eat it. Their Gemara is willing to entertain. That according to Rabbi Shimon, yeah, it might be totally fine. What is going on here, my friends? This is so important to understand. You have no idea. But for that, you need to tune in next week. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Thank you so much for joining. Cliffhanger. Listen, a little bit of, hopefully by Sunday morning you'll recover from Purim. even if you hold by Shushan Purim. No, sorry. If you hold by Shushan Purim, you're not going to recover it Sunday morning. Okay, whatever. You get my point. We'll be okay. I'll see you Sunday morning, everyone. Hopefully I'll see you sooner. Have a great day.
Thank you.